Amen. This morning we have Randy Strombeck with us. He's speaking today, and we're going to move forward there. Amen. You ready?
I'm ready when you tell me.
He's ready. I'm telling him he's ready.
Oh. Yeah, it's interesting. We love to change things, don't we? So Thursday, Rick calls me and he says, "Hey, can you speak Sunday?" I went, "Sure, I can." "By the way, we're not going to have worship." "Oh, that's fine too. No worries." So he says, "You can just take as long as you want." And I went, "Okay, good." So you're in trouble. And he asked me, he says, "Just share about, you know, some of the things that we've talked about, some things of your life, some of the things the Lord's shown you, some of the visitations you've had." And I was just praying about it on Thursday and Friday, and I felt like the Lord gave me really very specific things for us here, and I'm including myself in them, and I'll tell you why. It's interesting. Some of you have known me a long time. Corey and I, my wife's here. We've been here 25 years, and we actually built this building. Yeah. And through my life, it's been an interesting journey. 62, excuse me. Let me grab some water. And through my life, I'm kind of one of these weirdos that the Lord's put me in what I would call real fathers and mothers of the faith to be close friends with, and a son of, and they've taught me a lot. Like big names, you'd know them all. But it was interesting years ago, when we were in the warehouse, we were at Jubilee Junction and a bunch of different places through the history of Morningstar. And Rick's been kind of laying out the history of Morningstar as far as Moravian Falls and all that specifically. And we had raised up prophetic teams here and handed them off. And then we were raising up healing teams. And so part of my history is, you know, being raised up by, I mean, incredible people that have, you know, had been in healing ministry their entire lives. And it's really weird because I'm here to stir up some things in you. And I hope to provoke you to jealousy, not of me, but of that gift that's maybe laying dormant in you. And that's part of what the Lord showed me for us today, was to kind of revive some of that. And so it was really interesting. I learned so many things about healing, so many things about the prophetic. We had our own prophetic school in Orlando for years. Our family has churches and Bible schools and ministry literally all over the world. And so we started the healing teams. And so we were up at the time, Buck and Elaine Petty owned the worship center. Some of you remember Buck. And Brad and I were sitting there, and we were ready to start. And there was about maybe 30 or 40 people in there, and we were just starting to train on healing. And I had all my notes from literally my whole life, 40 years of, you know, being with Benny Hinn and Charles and Francis Hunter and all these just wild people that I've known my whole life. And the Lord said, "How about you close your notes and you let me teach you?" Amen. And I went, "Oh, that's, oh, crud." And so literally we're sitting there. Brad looks at me and I look at him. He's like, "We're going to change everything." "Yes, we are." You know, we just had this great time. So I literally just flopped my Bible open like that. And the Lord started to teach me stuff I had never seen for my whole life about healing. And it was, I'll have a struggle getting through this today. But it was mainly revolved around his heart for healing, his heart for the prophetic, his heart for words of knowledge, words of wisdom, different gifts that, you know, is is called out in the scripture for us. And so I'm gonna attempt to do that, not teach you from what I was taught by people, but maybe teach you from what the Lord has taught me. Is that all right? Because I don't like to repeat what other people say. It's not bad, but I want to be taught by the Lord. Even though I'm taught by incredible men and women, I want to really have it solidified in my heart from the Lord himself. And so when he did that, he really started to transform me from the inside out. And I began to see the scriptures. This was a long time ago. And I began to see the scriptures through the eyes of a loving father, rather than just through doctrine or theology or great teaching or whatever, or even experience. And so when I started to see that, it was hard. I will tell you specifically for us here in Moravian Falls, I hope to stir this up again if you have kind of forgotten it. But through the decades, there's been a lot of ministries that have come and gone or come and stayed in Moravian Falls, and that's okay. But Rick and I were sitting on the porch, a couple years ago, and we're talking about it, and one of the things I said the Lord showed me was that Moravian Falls was established by family. Not just a natural family, but spiritual family. Because I've done a lot of research on the Moravians, how they settled here, why they settled here, why they came here, about the spiritual heritage behind it. And then I said that Moravian Falls would be restored by family, not ministry. It's not a slide on ministry, but that can't be the source of restoration. It has to be this anointing of unity. What I mean by family, this spiritual part of it, is the real anointing of koinonia, the real anointing of unity that binds us together. You heard Rick talk about this a lot, is what real koinonia is once you're together, if you get pulled apart, both parts die because they're so close. It's like, for me, it's like pouring water into water. Once you're together, you can't separate or even differentiate. It's not that you lose your identity, because all of our identity as sons and daughters is in the Lord and not apart from him. So we actually, once we're one with the Lord, it says we become one spirit. Is that correct? So if we truly become one spirit with the Lord, then when they see you, they should actually see who? Him. Exactly right. So for many of us, I think we get used to this, because I'm just a normal guy, even though we have stuff all over the place. I work for a living, day-to-day stuff, just like you do. I don't take a salary from our ministry, never have. I've paid my way just about everywhere. And that's the way the Lord has told me to operate my life. And so we have this tendency to kind of forget, and we place this importance on a man or a woman that's in the office of a prophet or an apostle or a pastor or whatever. And we fail to see ourselves in the place that God wants to truly use us, just as normal people. Because he can't use Rick to do everything. He can't use just leadership to do everything. They're there to really be the low man on the totem pole. If you don't agree, that's fine. But the apostle is not the top of the pinnacle. The apostle is the foundation. And he loves more than anybody, because he is supposed to be the one that has the heart of the Father for the entire church, for the world, for humanity. So he's literally down there in the low place instead of the high place that we put him. And so the leadership really is supposed to be like, you guys have it. You have it in your heart. And that's what I want to do today, is stir up what's in your heart and think about yourself differently and take the mindset of the things that the Lord has shown you that you've kind of put on the shelf. I've done it so many times myself, and just not remembered who I was. And I've gone through, I would say, really great times, and then sometimes really hard times where the Lord would correct me very hard, because I'm not an immature person. And so he would say things to me that could be very, very tough. And every time he would correct me, I knew it came through so much love that it would just break me. And I would be like, you're right. That's the way we should be, is when we give revelation or when we pray for the sick or when we do any of these things, it has to come from the foundation of love. Yeah. Like if you read in, I believe it's 1 John 4, it says two different times, it says God is love, right? Remember that? So you can read it for yourself. It says God is love. He doesn't say God has love. He says God is love. So if you have something, you can lose it. If you are something, you can't lose it. That's just who you are. Is that not true? So Rick said something recently. He said that we're supposed to get to know the Lord so much deeper and so much more now because of the things coming. And I totally agree with that. I'm not going to disagree with it because I totally agree with it, but I want to add to it. Because I think we're supposed to add to it with this, that we're supposed to know each other deeper as well. Because the more we hear the voice of the Lord, the more he turns his love towards other people with that voice. And so we're going to need the Lord so much more now because of where we're walking in culture, in the economy, in our world, in all the things that are coming. And we're going to need Jesus more, and we're going to need each other more. That's part of the unifying that I'm talking about, because if we just have this singular relationship with the Lord and we don't have this relationship with his body, which again is part of the Lord, then we isolate ourselves and we become, I would say, unhealthy. That's the right word for it. Or really incomplete. And so getting to know one another is not on a fleshly or a humanistic way. You call that like community or just getting to know one another, hanging out. But what I'm really talking about is that is one aspect of it. But the other aspect that really truly binds us together is the spirit of unity, where we experience one another, we experience the Lord together, and it brings us so close and so deep that you don't want to be separate from them. So then when you have a disagreement with somebody, you can now see them through the eyes of love rather than through the eyes of what's trying to separate you. That's what brings the body together so much stronger. Instead of, well, I got offended at her, I got offended at him, they said something that hurt me. That's gonna happen. You will have the opportunity, if you are around anybody, to be offended. Or if you're married. You know, the whole thing about marriage is designed to kill you. It is. And nobody wants to die. We still want our own way, but its design, its purpose is to kill you so you can become one. And none of us want to die. So we're still being selfish when we like, oh, I want this and I need this and you hurt me because of this. And we still all do it, but that's just part of learning to be a body, like with husband and wife. And that's really what koinonia is, that same level of intimacy, because it's called fellowship, community, communion, a lot of different things in the scriptures is what it's called. I was like, why did Paul say, I invite you to join us in the fellowship or the koinonia of our suffering? Why? He just didn't, you know, misery doesn't just love company, but it literally wants to, for you to enjoy that intimate relationship, and it's a lot of times it's only going to come through suffering, or it's going to come through clash. It's going to come through the grinding, not of the love into us, but of the, I think it's this way, it actually grinds the love out of us. Because when the Lord is literally in there and he teaches you to love one another, it's coming out of you for that person. There is an impartation of love, but if the Holy Spirit is inside you, then the love of the Father is inside you, and you have to find it. And that's where I think we have to go as a church, not just a body here, but as the whole. You okay so far? I wrote a few things down. I'm going to read this one. The Lord is wanting to restore to many of us, myself included, the hunger for Jesus and to see him, to have encounters with him, and to speak revelations from him. There's this hunger, I think, when I was praying about this, and I include myself in it, there's this hunger that's been a little dormant to really see these things happen through us. It's one thing. See, I've literally been traveled all over the world. And when I'm speaking about healing or whatever, I'll preface it by saying this. I've seen not tens of thousands, but hundreds of thousands of people healed. This is not an exaggeration. I've seen thousands healed in a single meeting. And the most beautiful part of it is most of those healings weren't when people, you know, laid hands on them. It wasn't driven by, superstar. It was the presence of the Lord literally coming in and healing people because they were now open to him and the presence came and they got healed. And then there's been a lot of times, like I remember Charles and Francis Hunter, they're passed away now. We were in Colombia, South America, and my mom and I, we knew them real well. My grandmother was their office administrator. And so I don't know if you know who Charles and Francis Hunter were, but just amazing people. And so we took them to one of the big meetings we were doing. There was probably 30,000 people there in this big stadium. And on the floor of this arena, all we let on the arena was terminally ill patients, like you were ready to die. Wheelchairs, all of this stuff on the floor. And so my mom and myself and Charles and Francis, we jumped off the platform and we started walking around. And Francis, literally, she was crazy. Did you know Francis? Yeah, and she would walk up to these people, and there were 150 wheelchairs, 150 of them. And she walked up to every one of them and were like, "You get up in Jesus' name and snatch them out of the wheelchair." She didn't ask. She didn't say, you know, "God bless you, you know, Lord heal you." Like, she literally grabbed them by the hand, if they had a hand. You know, some of them didn't even have a hand. And she would literally jerk them out of the wheelchair, and half of them were immediately healed. So 75 people got out of wheelchairs just by how crazy she was with her faith. The other 75 literally fell on the floor, like yelling in pain. No lie. We'd have been sued if we had done that in the States. And then we had a team come behind us, pick up the other 75 of them, put them back in the wheelchair, and keep praying for them. And another half of them, as best I could tell, were healed. Normal people. You and I, just whatever, just walking around like, and then they like started to minister to them. And then they began the, what we call the working of miracles. It wasn't the crazy part. It was just like, we're going to grind this out and we're going to get the rest of these people healed. And so probably 120 of them came out of wheelchairs in one meeting. And then at the end of that, there was this lady that had this goiter on her neck. It was bigger than her head. And I'm standing like right here next to this lady, and Francis is standing right here. And this goiter was so big, it was pushing her head over like this. And so she came walking up like this, and it was bigger than her. So just imagine my head is like, it's this huge thing right here. And Francis, just as normal as could be, she walked up to her, put her hand on that goiter and said, "You be healed in Jesus' name." And that goiter popped off in her hand. It literally fell off in her hand. It's this 20-pound sack of goo. Sorry to be so graphic. And it didn't even faze her. She turned to the guy that was kind of walking behind us. He goes, "Here, take care of that." He's like, "Oh my God," you know, freaks out. And all there was underneath it was just baby skin. No scar, no blood, no nothing. It's like it never existed. And we went, "Oh, that right there is cool." And we saw so many people get healed. And we've seen it in the States, not just overseas, because I do have a lot of people ask, like, "Well, what about the States?" And I remember when I was real young, we lived in Orlando. I was a painting contractor at the time. And I finished up painting this apartment complex. And I walked in this office. This real well-dressed manager was there. And she had a cask on. And the Lord's like, "You need to pray for her." And I'm like, "Oh, are you serious?" I'm filthy. I had wet paint. This is a mess. And so I said, hey, you know, we're done. I just wanted to let you know. But by the way, you know, what happened to your arm? She told me, I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And she looked at me like, I suppose. You know, she kind of went, grunted a little bit. And so I just like reached across the table. I'm sorry to get paint on your desk, you know. I reached across the table and I just laid my hands on her arm. And I said something very simple, like, just be healed in Jesus' name. And instantly she was healed. She pulls her arm out of her cast because it was broken. Not of her cast, but her sling. Pulls it out and just starts to move it. And I'm like, okay, bye. And I jump in my truck and I leave. And I'm like, that's just weird stuff. But that kind of stuff is supposed to happen to us. We need it. We need these things in a very practical way. Because if we don't have them, I think we're going to have a very hard time surviving. Just being honest. Because all the people that I know and trust, there's a lot of, I will say, voices now that I don't trust. I can say it nicely like that. But the voices that I do know and I trust them because of their track record and because of their humility and because of their accuracy, even when they're not right, they repent and go, I missed that one. Right. That's part of being mature, right? They're saying the same things. It's like, there's some really tough times coming, and we've got to get close to the Lord. And I add to what Rick has said, too, is we have to get close to one another because we're going to need one another. We're going to need the strengths and the weaknesses of one another. And we're going to need this ability to be able to see through the eyes of love past our mess, not ignore it. Like, my wife doesn't ignore me, like, in my mess. She understands that I have my own mess. Like, you have your own mess, your own stuff you walk through in your life. But true love actually sees through that and sees the real person, sees the heart of the person, and doesn't like, throw them away because of their mess. Doesn't ignore it either. But says, this is what God sees when he sees me, as he sees me, how he created me, and how beautiful I am in my mess, which leads me to repentance. That leads me to repentance, not to stay in my mess, but it actually, when I'm truly loved, it leads me to repentance. That's what the heart of the Father is. And that's how I think we have to see humanity. That's the strongest thing. Like, we've been in business like most of our lives, but the strongest way we've ever witness to people was in the marketplace, and they see us living normal, and they see our lifestyle, and then they see Jesus in us, and they're like, what is it about you? Like, we were in a business meeting years and years ago when we lived in Orlando. It was a business meeting, and at the end of it, our buddy, he gave an altar call, and 3,000 people got saved in a business meeting because he's living a godly life in front of everybody, and the leadership was too, and they're like, that's what I want. That's the Jesus I want. It's not this, you know, religious whatever. Like, I see Jesus in you. That's what I want. That's where we need to head. Like, we actually live what we believe in our businesses, in our lives, in all the things we say and we do, and when we mess up, we repent, and we get back at it. And we just honor one another in all of it. It was interesting. I was, I'm just going to tell some stories because he asked me to. And I think it's to stir some of this stuff up. So I was just overseas with another one of my spiritual dads, Benny. And we're in this Coliseum. And there's 500,000 people in it. This was in February this year. And so he asked me and this other guy, Kent Maddox, he's the pastor in Alabama. We all grew up together in Orlando. And so he asked us, hey, I want you guys, before the meeting ever starts, so this is 2 hours, the stadium's full, 2 hours ahead of the meeting. He says, I want you guys just to start going out and just praying for people. Okay. You know, it's like this. No worship, no you know, fanfare, no, you know, big stuff, no, nothing going on. And so Kent and I and several other people, we had a team with us. We went out, started praying in the crowd, and we had to have bodyguards and all that stuff, you know, just kind of watch us. And we were shocked at the level of healings that were taking place in a dry stadium. Now, I'm a presence guy. I love the presence. I love atmosphere. I love all that. But he doesn't require it sometimes. He's like, sometimes I just want to show myself to be who I want to be. I'm talking about the Lord. And so as we're going around, I mean, I remember these two young girls, they were in their late teens in different places, totally blind. And just, I laid my hands on them and they just got healed. One of them never seen in her whole life. And I'm just praying, and you don't feel goosebumps, you don't feel all this stuff, you just, by faith, you walk up to him, you're like, in Jesus' name, you just be healed. I put my hand on her eye, and she just looks at me shocked, like this. Sorry, Nancy. I'm gonna mess your glasses up. And we just went, let's keep moving. We just kept right on moving. And, I mean, stuff was crazy stuff, like autism was being healed. Like, you just don't see that stuff. So we started pulling people up on the platform during the meeting, and this little one came up and was like, his mom was there, and it's like, I'm verifying that he had autism before they prayed for him. It's just like, we are just being obedient to the Lord. And we're gonna do some stuff today. How about that? Is that good? We are. So I want to just lay a few scriptures out. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. Hey, Becky, do you want to break right now? How about before we get into that? She's going to take the kids out. Jerry, you want to come up? He's going to take the offering and do whatever, and then we'll go right back into it. Is that all right?
Hallelujah. Everybody good? Y'all all right with that? Good time to give, amen? If y'all look at your tables, we've put in the plastic there ways to give. There's a barcode there that you can give by. But, you know, the money is not the only way you can give. Amen? Amen.
Well, yes.
Thank you. Come on.
Two of them got it.
Right? Money's not the only way you give. Serving. That's one of the biggest ways to give. Jesus said it, actually. I didn't come to be served, but I came to. Come on, serve. Amen? And if Jesus came to serve, and if he's our, what we're supposed to be like, then what are we supposed to do? Servants. And that means, you know, what Randy was saying about the apostles, that's the foundation. We all, you know, everybody wants to be up on the stage and wants to be in the lights, but how many of us really just serve? Well, I want to be on the prayer team. Well, I want to be this. I want to be that. Well, who's going to clean the bathrooms? Who's going to sweep the floors? Who's going to do the hard stuff? Well, I don't want to do that. Then do you really want to be like Jesus? Amen? So on that, you'll see there's different ways to serve. Listen, we need our people to serve. We need you to serve. Amen? So come see me. Send us an email. Do something. But be part of, Randy's talking about becoming a body, a family. That's part of being that. Is taking place in this, you know, being part of this. Amen? So there's, like I say, there's a barcode here. You can take your phone, and it'll take you how to give digitally. You can make checks out to the gathering. There's envelopes on the tables. Y'all can give that way. We have it up here, and it should be online. So, Father, we thank you, amen, that we can give, that there's multiple ways to give. And Father, we just want to serve you. And we want to bless you, Lord. And Father, it's not about a law. It's about a relationship. And our relationship with you, Lord, is it's all yours. Everything I am and everything I have is yours. And I ask you, Lord, to show me what you require of me in Jesus' name. And I will do it and I'll obey exactly what you tell me to do, Lord, because I belong to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I say, you can make checks out to the gathering. You can fill them out there. We have buckets on the tables. You can drop it in the bucket. Those who are in chairs, we have ushers coming around. We'll bring you baskets. Amen. Thank you, guys. Bless you.
All right. So when I'm teaching on this today, I felt like I was supposed to teach on the subtleties of these things, not the obvious ones. Because I think everybody's really been taught, you know, core scriptures on healing, on the prophetic, on words of knowledge, on these different things. But I want to bring out some of the even the very subtle things, the way the Lord speaks to us and how dramatic us recognizing those real simple things the Lord shows us. I remember this was in 2004, so this was 20 years ago. My dad was over in Ukraine. We have a lot of stuff going in Ukraine. My dad was in Ukraine, and he calls me on the phone. And, you know, back then, that was like before, you know, iPhone and all that jazz. So I know that's like, this is something serious going on. So he calls me. He goes, "Hey, Randy, your mom is spitting up blood. Pray." Click. I'm like, thanks for the information, Dad, you know. And so I literally prayed 2 minutes. And the release came. Like, the Lord just lifted the burden off of me. I didn't go into emergency tongues. I wasn't panicked or nothing. And I just, it lifted. And so I went, okay. And so I jump in my truck, and we live out in Moravian Falls. And so I jump in my truck, and I'm running down 16. Probably too fast, but I'm running, you know, driving down 16. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, have you ever seen, like, in your peripheral vision? Like, you can even do it right now. I'm looking at you, but I can see my hand out here. So in my peripheral vision, I see this motion. Like here, and I'm in my truck. And I'm driving 55, 60 miles an hour, however fast. And all of a sudden, I actually turned to see what that motion was in my peripheral vision. And as soon as I turned to it, the Lord literally pulled me out of my truck. And I'm about 60 or 70 feet above my truck while I'm, you know, flying down the highway. I'm like, this is the weirdest thing going on. And I'm literally looking at my truck below me. And then that peripheral vision, the more I focused on it, I saw this thumb and forefinger. That's all I saw, was this huge thumb and forefinger, and I knew it was the Lord. And I saw this blood vessel that had a hole in it. And the Lord told me, he said, "Why don't you close it up?" And so I literally, with him, took my thumb and forefinger and his thumb and forefinger and just massaged that blood vessel, and the hole closed up, and boom, I'm back down in my truck. I went, well, that was really odd. It was very subtle, though. It's just like as subtle as you just seeing this little thing out here. So I get back, go into town, do my stuff. I get back home, and Tim Winterstein is waiting on me he wasn't actually waiting on me, but he was, you know, weed eating and stuff right by my mailbox. And he goes, "Hey, Randy, I was praying for your mom a few minutes ago, like 20 minutes ago, and the weirdest thing happened to me. This thumb and forefinger came out of heaven and just massaged this vein that had this hole in it. Does that mean anything to you?" I just started laughing. I'm like, yeah, I'll tell you later. And Bob Jones called. He goes, "I was praying a little while ago, and I saw this thumb and forefinger come out of heaven." I'm like, yeah. And it was only because I noticed the subtlety in my peripheral vision. The Lord's like, "Hey, I want you to pay attention to me. Like, don't pray out of fear. Don't pray out of compulsion. Pray until I tell you to stop." And it might be 2 minutes. It might be 3 days. And you just pray until that is lifted. And I was reading, actually, my mom passed away this last spring, or this spring, not the last spring. And I was reading her journals. And she wrote down in her journal in 2004, I just found this. I didn't even tell my wife yet. I just found this because I was reading her journal, that day when I prayed for her was when she was healed, even though she didn't know the diagnosis. what was going on. She still had other stuff that happened that was, you know, real hard and all that. But it was just one of those things where I think we have to catch the little things the Lord's trying to communicate through to us and just follow them instead of waiting on huge visitations. It's like all the things we have going on in Ukraine. For me specifically, my parents were there for many, many years. And my wife had a dream when I was over there. And I was speaking in one of our churches. And she emails me this dream. And the dream was about two girls and a boy in their teens. And I kind of had to put it aside. I was real busy doing stuff, meeting people, doing all these meetings and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, these two girls came in the back room and said, "Hey, can we talk to you?" And I went, "Oh, wait a minute. That's the two girls in her dream." And then we literally had to just tell them what was going on in their life. They didn't even have to tell us. We told them what was going on in their life because it was in her dream. And I just caught who it was. And then a knock on the door, and a young man came like, "Come sit down. We're going to tell you what's going on with you." And it wasn't me being a super prophet or anything. My wife had this dream. And we literally like showed him the dream. And he's like, "That's 100% right." And he's, you know, crying and all this stuff. And so just from that little recognition of noticing who was in her dream led to almost 12 years of youth gatherings that touched tens of thousands of young people in Ukraine. Tens of thousands of them. Just from recognizing three kids in a dream. And if I'd have just sloughed it off, none of that stuff would have happened. It's just, we just have to catch those little things sometimes. And like, what is it, Lord? And then he loves it when we do that and just pay attention to him. Instead of just like, "I'm too busy to mess with that right now." Like there's been many times on construction sites or wherever I am, I'll just hear something and I'll be like, "Excuse me just a minute. I think I'm going to make a call. You know, I'm going out. I got to listen to the Lord just for 30 seconds and then I'll come back because I know he wants to say something like right now maybe." And so I do that all the time. So, and then that dream actually also set off for me personally. And this is kind of hard to say, but it set off a series of encounters and visitations I had with the Lord for 10 years. Some of them were very hard. I'll maybe share one or two of them, but it was some type of encounter or visitation with the Lord every, you know, 3 or 4 months for 10 or 12 years. And most of them, I can say, came when I wasn't doing well. Like I was, as we would say, you know, I haven't fasted and prayed for 2 weeks and, you know, just waited on the Lord. It's like I'm busy and, you know, under, you know, correction or criticism or people are hating on me or whatever. I mean, just the stuff that we go through in life. And, you know, the more in leadership, the more people are going to criticize you. Like Jerry and I were talking about, like, people are just going to criticize you. It's just the nature of it. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, somebody's going to criticize you. And so I was under, I mean, intense criticism. And I remember that one of the very first visitations I had, I was in my apartment. Steve Burris, how many of y'all remember Steve Burris? He came here for many, many years. They actually live in Southwest Virginia, but he commuted here for, I think, 11 years. I'm like, that's a man right there. And I was in my apartment, and I'm just sitting there, and one of our kids, our spiritual kids over there, just came up to me and sat down. I'm sitting on my couch and came up to me and just leaned up against my leg, and she said, "I just love you, Papa." And I thought, that's a weird sensation because I felt in my natural body, I literally felt like blood draining out of me into her. It wasn't physically happening, but I felt it in my physical body. And part of that is the word of knowledge. Part of that's just your feeling stuff. And so I had just got done praying for all of them for, gosh, we were together maybe 3 or 4 hours. And so that's why I was sitting down. And another one came up to me and just started, you know, laying hands on me and just started praying for me again. And every one of them that touched me, more blood left my body. That was the sensation I was going through. It's like it literally was being emptied. And then the last one that came up to me was Esme. She lives here. She was with us on that trip. And as soon as she came up and touched me, I was literally empty. The feeling was I had no blood left in my body. And then the Lord literally took me out of my body, and I'm standing at the cross while Jesus was being crucified. And I'm looking at this, and I'm just like wondering, what in the world am I doing here? I didn't ask for this. I didn't want this. And I see this, I mean, incredible scene. Like, how many of you ever seen The Passion of the Christ? How bloody and how, like, horrific that scene is. That was rated G compared to what really happened. And I'm standing there looking at the Lord being crucified, like I'm standing there, like here, and the Lord begins to speak to me from the cross, and nobody else could see me. And he said, I want you to look around and tell me what you see. And so I did. And the Lord told me, like, he's in this excruciating pain. He told me, he's like, these are the ones I came for that are killing him. These are the ones I love. And I'm like, I don't understand that. And as I look around, all I see is this hatred and betrayal. Even the ones that loved him, said they loved him, that betrayed him and walked away, you know, minus a few. He loved them so much, and he was not faking it. You can't fake it when you're dying like that. And then he said to me, look around again. And I noticed they were all walking in his blood. Every one of them. And then I looked down, and I looked at my own feet, and I'm standing in his blood. And as soon as I saw my feet standing in his blood, from the bottom of the soles of my feet, his blood literally filled my body back up, and bang, I'm back in my apartment. And I was there about 40 minutes at the cross with the Lord. And Steve was sitting right across the couch from me, and he was looking at me the whole time, and he thought I had died. He literally did. He came over and he checked my breath. He's like, what the heck happened to you? And as when I came back, I started to tell him all this stuff, and I immediately went to Philippians 2, where it says he came to earth as a servant, emptied himself, on and on and on. This whole scenario started to play out. And I thought, every one of us have to go through that to really be the Lord on this earth to people that will never walk in church. There's a load of people in this county that will never go to a church. This church or any Baptist church or any other church in this county, they're like, nah. And we literally have to be emptied. It's a very painful process to be emptied, especially by the Lord. And so when he started to have these series of things to me, it literally changed my heart for humanity. And the way I saw people and the way I ministered changed. I didn't want it to change. It had to change. It just changed because it was now from a foundation of love instead of just operating in my gift. Because he gave me a lot of gifts when I was really young, saw incredible healing, saw all these things as a young man. I could prophesy the barn doors off of places and it was just operating in my gift, and it wasn't founded in love. It was accurate, but it wasn't Jesus. I know that sounds hard to say, but truly the prophetic is what? Revelations says what? It's the testimony of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So that's literally Jesus himself being revealed. You can testify to all kinds of people without words and not say a word, because you're simply revealing Jesus by being obedient to that small voice, that little peripheral thing. And you just walk up to somebody and just a simple kindness that he tells you to go do, and you do it to a person, and they literally experience the Lord through it. That is prophecy, even though you haven't used words. Now, at this Romans 10, I'm getting ready to read, and a bunch of other scriptures talk about rhema, which is, it literally has to be spoken or uttered. There is that time, too, where you have to utter the words, but it's not the words. It's literally you're uttering him instead of just words. Like, I would rather say, if it has an anointing of Jesus on it, I love you. Like, you can say, I love you, and you'd be like, yeah, whatever. You love me as much as you love that platform or that, you know, podium, whatever. Or you can say, I love you, and it has the anointing of love on it, and it just melts that person because it's the Lord melting them, not my words. That's the spirit of prophecy I'm talking about. That's the spirit of Jesus, that we have to be able to, like, shed our inhibitions and just let him go. And not depend on leadership, not depend on Rick, not depend on the pastor, not depend on whoever. I think that's why Rick is like, we're going to do things differently. We need to reconnect with the Lord and one another so that we can truly live our lives like whole, rich, successful. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the richness of the Lord coming through us. That's what I'm talking about. Gosh, I got to hurry. I'm not going to make it. John 3:34. He who God has sent speaks the words, rhema of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. This is actually referring to Jesus, but he gave the same to us because his Spirit's actually dwelling in us. Is that not true? If it is, then we ought to do it. 1 John 2:5-6, for whoever keeps his word, capital H, the Lord, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he, capital H, Jesus, walked. So I'm purposely going to take these obscure verses instead of the ones we always hear about. I'm trying to wake us back up to the fact that we are supposed to walk as the Lord on this earth with him, with one another, so that we can actually become the body. The body right now is, I think, this is my personal opinion, the way I see it, is fairly sick. Because we're so self-centered about my gifts, my platform, my ministry, my business, my, you know, my family, my needs, my hurts, my wounds. Like, who cares about all that stuff? What about him? What if he says, you go to the cross? Jerry, you go to the cross. I want you to go to the cross. Are you going to go to the cross? It's easy to say till you get to the cross. I've been in meetings where, you know, big boys, not little boys, big boys, are absolutely just tearing me a new one. And almost every single time, the Lord is like, I want you to sit there and shut your mouth and take it. Yes, sir. Whether it was right or whether it was wrong is not the point. I could sit there and I could out-argue him. I could defend myself. I could show how right I was. He's like, I don't want you to do that. I want you to sit there, and I want you to take a beating just like I did. Yes, sir, I will. I haven't always done that. I've failed at that many times. 1 John 4:16. I'm going to get through this. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. I actually looked that up the other day, and it says, believed the love which God has in us. I actually went, because some translations say for, some translations say in. And I looked at the Greek, it's en, which is inside. In other words, he's already given us his love, and now we believe it, and it's beginning to manifest through our lives. Amen. That is the way I want to live. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. It's another one, just showing us who we are and who we're supposed to walk as. Not little Ricks. I know enough of my spiritual fathers that they don't want me to be a little them. They want me to be me. They want me to be who God made me to be and have the confidence to be me and not him. We should all be that way. That's real leadership, is being secure enough in who we are. I remember one time I was in one of our churches in South America. We had started this church out of one of our Bible schools. And at the time, it was growing like crazy. It probably had 7,000 or 8,000 people in it. And so I flew down there one weekend to do the services. And I get there, and I was sick as a dog. I mean, sick as a dog. It was coming out of everywhere. You know, I won't go into it. But I'm standing on the platform, and I started to speak. And I'm like woozy. I'm, you know, trying to contain myself. There was nobody else I had to. And so my translator's looking at me, and she's like, Randy, are you all right? I'm like, no, I'm not. And I left the platform, went back in the back room, and threw up, and came back out. And as soon as I came back out, the Lord's like, okay, let's turn this into a healing meeting, Randy. I went, you got to be kidding me, really? I just left in the middle of my message to go throw up. And I can barely stand up. I'm hallucinating almost. I'm so sick. Okay, great, you know. And so the first word of knowledge that came to me was lung cancer. I'm like, well, let's start with a small one, Jesus, you know. So I said, if you have lung cancer, emphysema, anything terminally going on in your lungs, I want you to come to the front. And 90 people came to the front. Wheelchairs, oxygen, all this stuff. And I'm barely standing up. So I come down, and I'm just doing my deal. You know, I get ready to lay hands on the first person, and the Lord's like, don't you touch him. I'm like, okay. And I back up, and I literally like this. I have no idea. It must be the redneck coming out in me. I back up, and I cross my arms, and I said to the translator, like, watch this. I had no idea what was going to happen. And as soon as I said that, the first one of them over here started to spit and cough and blood coming out and just literally started spitting up all these cancers. And it went all the way down the whole row. I never prayed for a single one of them. And every single one of them got healed. Amen. All I had to be was just obedient to be like, I'll be your fool. I'll be your fool, Jesus. I'm sick as a dog. Yeah, let's pray for the sick. This is awesome. And by the way, don't pray for him. Let me pray for him. Okay. And literally, like, there's junk on the floor when they all left. You know, all this tumor and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, I'm going to. It's too graphic. And then I kept on calling out words of knowledge. And that meeting, you know, kind of just, the anointing was so strong, it just went into another one. And 2,000 people got healed that afternoon in the church in two meetings. It just kind of kept going into the second service. And I maybe prayed for a dozen people at most, maybe 10, because he told me to. And all of them got healed. Like some of them stayed in their seat. Like I'd call out a word of knowledge. I remember I called out a word of knowledge way up in the balcony. And it was about something very specific. And I pointed this guy out and I said, this is going on, blah, blah, blah. And in between us, this woman just started to freak out and manifest. And when I pointed my hand, this witch started to manifest. Its word of knowledge just kind of, you know, bounced through her and hit this guy. It was just weird. And I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm so sick. I'm just being obedient to the Lord. And we think we have to have, you know, everything together and, you know, fast and pray for a month. And the Lord's like, I just want to use you. Fasting and praying for a month is awesome. We should be doing that. But do it by obedience, not just out of, this is what I have to do to be able to minister. Our anointing inside should come from Him, not from us. Our anointing for others, that sustaining thing for ourselves should be for ourselves and not minister from that anointing within. That's for us. But there is an anointing that we're supposed to minister with for others. They're very different. I won't go into that. So 1 Corinthians 12:8 is, I won't read it, but it's where the gifts are listed and the word of knowledge is listed in there. So I want to look at, before we move too far, I want to look at Luke 5. You guys okay? Lord, speak to them about themselves. While I'm looking this up, I remember, is Debbie here today? Winterstein? Tim's passed away now, but I remember one time is we were up at Barbara Clark's house. She's used to live over here on the other hill up on Poor's Knob, and we were at Barbara Clark's house, and we were praying for Tim because he had this shoulder that was like locked up and he was in such pain. You remember that? And we were praying for him, and it was deader than that carpet on the floor. I mean, nothing. And Barbara looked at Tim and she said, Tim, you have unforgiveness in your heart, man. She could say that. She was, you know, 80 years old and she'd get away with anything, you know. And Tim was like, oh, I do not. I don't have any unforgiveness. And we kind of beat on him for a minute because we knew him so well. It's like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. And so finally, when he relented, he's like, Lord, I repent, I forgive. And instantly this pop and this bam, he was just healed. Nobody prayed for him after that. It was just this repentance that just led him to healing. And so I think we just have to be obedient to hear the voice of the Lord at any given moment for whatever circumstance we're in to lead us into where he wants to lead us. And then there's sometimes we just miss it, and when we miss it, we just go, I missed it. You know, let's move on. Let's not be so upset about ourselves. So Luke 5, verses 20 through 26. Seeing their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven you. Can you imagine that? And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this man who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, this is a word of knowledge, nobody said anything. So Jesus, being aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, they never asked a question, never said anything, but he answered their question. Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. And immediately he got up before them, right in front of them all, and he picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. Listen to this. They were all struck with astonishment and began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. Now, usually when I hear somebody talk about that story, it comes from the point of Jesus was mad at the scribes and the Pharisees and had to show them that he really had authority on earth because they didn't believe him. I personally don't believe that. Because it said all. All means all, right? So everybody that was in earshot or eye shot of what just happened, including the scribes and the Pharisees that were questioning him, did what? They were astonished and they were glorifying God and they had fear, the fear of the Lord. Literally, I think the Lord had such a heart of love for those scribes and Pharisees, he actually wanted to show them, I really am the Son of Man. I love you enough to show you that I am the Son of Man standing right in front of you so you will recognize me, not because I have the right or I have to justify myself, because I love you. He didn't physically say that, but it changed their heart so that they glorified God. That's the heart I see in God. Yes, there is the kindness and the severity of God. And he can love us through his severity. He can love us through his discipline. But that doesn't change his love for us. So when he's loving these scribes and Pharisees, he's like, guys, I'm standing right here. And I'm going to have to do this to show you actually who I am. Instead of just saying the words, I forgive your sins, I'm actually going to heal. To show you that I have this authority. I love you enough to show you actually who I am. Is how I interpret that. That's me. That's my interpretation. Instead of, I'm going to show you suckers. I think we have to have that heart for the world. I think we have to have that heart for one another. Like when somebody says to you, who do you think you are? I'll show you. No, we actually show him. And by doing that, we show who we are. And it's literally wrapped up in the Lord. Am I making sense today? I hope so. Some of y'all are looking at me, we say down south here, it's like a calf looking at a new gate. What the heck's he talking about? I really wanted to provoke people in here today. It's important that you get stirred up to believe in what the Lord has inside you already that you've allowed to sleep. Me too. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I'm sitting here listening to myself. Sometimes, even us, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit 52 years. I'm not a novice. And sometimes us that have, done this for a long, long time or in leadership and have a lot of responsibilities and weight, we forget. We go to sleep. Or we get tired. It's the fact. And the Lord's like, I want you to wake up. And I want you to start again. And I want you to believe again. And I want you to love again. And it's not going to be pleasurable sometimes. It's not this, ushy-gushy, lovey stuff. There is that involved in it too. But love sometimes comes through hard conflict. And then you actually see, wow, I really love that person. Because it's the love that he put inside you for that person when he's criticizing you. Maybe in a public format. And then you go, I had to look through that criticism and that judgment that was coming against me, and I had to love that man or that woman right where they are. And sometimes he says, no, you need to correct them or you need to do whatever, and that's fine. I'm going to try to be obedient as best I can. But to wake up, especially in these days, is so important. We can't keep sleeping. I don't think we'll survive. I don't think we'll survive. I think it's that serious. I think he's given us, gosh, this is a heavy, I'm going to lay on you, but I think he's given us maybe one of the last few chances to wake up as a body. I firmly believe that, and I'll say it too, and I'll stand behind it. He's been telling us for a long time, but I genuinely think it's one of the last remaining times. It's getting that serious. Like, if you don't wake up, I don't know how many more times. I'm not saying he's not going to, because he's ultimately merciful every day and gracious. But at the same time, he's like, I've been warning and warning and telling you guys for a long time. And this is not a judgment against you. I'm talking about broadly, okay? I'm talking to myself as well. Like, wake up and begin to walk in who you really are. 1 Corinthians 2, it says he uses our weakness, not our strength. Our weakness, is like the apostle, is the low. It's an upside down pyramid. When we think, man, that dude has reached the pinnacle. He's reached a basement. If his heart's right, he's truly reached a basement, because he wants everybody greater than him, especially the Lord. You with me? Let me see if I have anything else in here. I think I'm good. What time is it? 7 minutes after 11. How did I get through all that? I felt like I'm going to tell you one last story of something happened to me. This was about, many years ago. I'm trying to think, it's been at least 10. But I had just come home from overseas, and I was in one of those places like, man, it was a rough trip. You know, as Ray used to say, I felt like I got thrown into a den of deacons. It was true. I got thrown into a den of deacons and got beat up. Some of it was my own making, though. I can't fault them all that. And so I came home, and I called up Benny, and I said, hey, I'm going to come see you. And he was actually doing a meeting in Greensboro. And it was at this church. It was about, I don't know, it was 8,000 or 10,000 people in the church. Great, great church. And so he's ministering, and the sanctuary is in the round like this. And so I'm sitting on the front row. And in the front row of this, it was big enough, there's probably at least 100 seats in the front row like this. So it would be like, you know, this size all the way around, something like that. So he comes off the platform, and I'm sitting like over here, and he starts laying hands literally on everybody. And I went there just to be prayed for by Benny, my dad, because I'm in such bad shape. I'm hurt, I'm broken, you know, betrayed, all the stuff you could say. It was a terrible trip, even though the Lord was there. It was awesome. And so he starts praying for everybody. Boom, 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 boom. They're all flying everywhere. And he comes to me, and he skips over me. And he keeps on praying for literally everybody in the rest of the front row, all 100 of them, all 99 of them. And I was ticked. I'm like, I know you better than anybody in this room for the last 35 years, you know. And I was like, I came to, you know. And all of a sudden, I realized what a little jerk I was being. And I don't know why. But it literally popped out of my mouth. Oh, Lord, I just humble myself. And I put my arms out. And in the back of the building, there was a set of double doors, kind of like here, but it was like way off in the distance. It's a big, big church building. Those double doors open up, and the Lord walks in the room. And he walked all the way down through the crowd, past everybody in the front, past Benny, and came walking right up to me. He said, Randy, hold your hands out. Just like Bob had done many times, he said, hold your hands out. So I held my hands out. He lays his hands on me, and I'm squalling. I'm yelling all this stuff, and you just don't do that Benny Hinn meeting. He'll throw your butt out. And I mean, it's a mess. And he was with me probably 15 minutes and did some other stuff I don't want to share about. and it literally restored me. And I go back in the back room, and Benny's like, Randy, what happened to you? And I told him. And he said, I knew if I prayed for you, I'd have messed it up. I knew you had to have the Lord come and do it for you. Like, that's a good dad, to know when the Lord needs to take over. And that's what I think needs to happen, is the Lord literally to bring us awake again and meet with us and to visit us again. And this anointing that's in here, even though there's no worship, no music, there's a real anointing in here. And it wasn't just, you know, physical atmosphere or whatever, even though I love that stuff. There is this hunger that the Lord has that outweighs our hunger. He's hungrier for us than we are hungry for him, if I can say it that way. He wants to be with us more than we want to be with him. And I hear him say, come close, talking to you and me. Come close and let me just be with you. Don't ask me to come, I'm here. I want you guys just to stand up, and I just want you to ask him. However you verbalize it, if you want to lay down, if you want to go off and wherever, I don't really care. This is between you and the Lord. And so, Lord, we just thank you so much. Just put your focus and your concentration on him and not me or anybody else. And Lord, we just thank you so much for your presence that's in this room right now. It's so soft and so quiet, but yet so tangible. And we honor that presence. We honor this weight that's in this room. That is you, Lord. And we won't dip our hands in that bowl for ourselves anymore. This anointing is for you and for you alone. We're tired of putting our hands in the bowl to get for ourselves. So, Lord, revive us. Restore us. Wake us back up to the reality of your love that you placed inside of us. Wake us back up to the reality of the gifts that you gave us and how to properly operate in those through your spirit of the love that you put in there. That's the fuel. Let us see your purposes again in everything. That you know us and you have us in the palm of your hand. And that the scripture truly is accurate. You will never leave us or forsake us, no matter what happens to us. You're there with us. David said, if I make my bed in hell or I make my bed in heaven, you're there with me. No matter what. Lord, I'm just so grateful for you being with us this morning. I'm so grateful. We actively stir up inside what's been dormant. We stir up inside as family. This anointing of love. Help us see again, Lord, through those eyes of love, how you see humanity, how you see us as the body, as the bride. As your kids, how you see us again. Let us see ourselves and one another, and it'll break us. There will be no room for allowing discord in our heart, allow hatred in our heart, allow racism, allow anything in our heart. It's the ultimate pride. Lord, forgive us for separating ourselves from one another, which is part of your body. Your kids fighting. Whew, as a dad, when I see my kids fighting, it just breaks my heart. I can imagine how the Lord sees us when we're fighting amongst ourselves. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us. I ask you to break our hearts for one another again. Whew, that's a dangerous prayer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'd like everybody to open their eyes up. I'd like for you to look around the room, not at me. Look around the room. And I want you to ask the Lord to show you something for somebody else in this room. It might be a word for them. It might be a word of knowledge about healing, something going on in your life. But just ask, Lord, show me. Go ahead. Don't look at me. I want you to look around. I want you to begin to minister to one another. Put this thing into practice I'm talking about. Catch those little subtle thoughts. Figure it out if it's yourself or it's the Lord. It's funny how the Lord sounds like us a lot of times. Not all the time, but sometimes he does. So, Lord, we just release the spirit of revelation, the revelation of you, Jesus, in this room. For prophetic words, for words of knowledge, for healings, for signs and wonders and miracles. We release this again here in this place. Lord, I ask that you would relight the fires. And if the fires are already lit and still burning, I ask you, you would blow on them. That you'd blow on them hot, let them burn for you bright. Thank you, Lord. Now, if you've got something, just turn around and go to that person. Even if they're across the room, just go ahead. And you put on some music. Let's just spend the next few moments just ministering to one another. Thank you, Lord. You don't need to be ashamed or bashful. Sometimes the Lord will just highlight somebody, even though you don't have something for them. He may just like, hey, I want to go pray for that person. That's kind of like being highlighted. And then just walk over and begin to pray for them. And as the Lord, you know, comes, he'll show you more detail. That's fine. You can. It's a process sometimes. You can just open up. Yeah, you guys can just go around, whatever you like. Just be free. Lord, we release healing in this room. We release healing in this room. We release physical healing in this room. We release healing inside of the man and the woman, that you would restore their soul, that you would restore them where they've lost hope, where they've been hurt, that you would restore them inside as well as physically, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Someone in here is dealing with a real serious neck issue. Who is that? Right here? The people at this table, just lay your hands on him right here. Is it right at the base of your neck? Yep, it's right at the base of your neck. Yep, right here at the very bottom, right where it meets your torso. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask that you would heal that neck. The discs. Be whole in the name of Jesus. Right now, be whole. You two ladies that are sitting right there with your hands on them, then that man just walked up. Release that anointing. That anointing's on all of you. Just keep on releasing it on his neck. And her too? Jerry, you guys come lay hands on her right here. Same place, the base of the neck. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we speak healing on her neck. You too. Come right here. Pray for him right here. A couple more of you guys right here. This gentleman, go and pray for him. All three of you, the base of your neck, go back to the way God originally created it. Be completely restored. And if you would, I literally saw you straightening up. Instead of being like bent over, I saw you straightening up. I don't know if it's physically or in the spirit. Like there is an element that you've been battling this stuff for a long time and you've almost lost hope in it. And the Lord's like, raise your head back up. It's going to be okay. Right here, this gentleman. What happened? It's a looser. All right. Amen. All right. Keep praying. You guys around them, just come on and engage and just keep praying for this gentleman. If you would, stand up if your lower back's getting touched as well. Roxy, go pray for him. Lord, I ask that we're going to just keep soldiering right on through this. So, Lord, I ask that you would just bring hope back in our hearts for even things we prayed for a long time that's not been fulfilled for us. Even in this area of healing, I ask that you would restore our hope, restore our life back to us, restore our vision back to us. Does anybody else in the room have any words of knowledge for people here? Dear, you got something? Oh, okay. A word of knowledge can come in many different ways. Sometimes you can actually physically feel it in your body, like what he's wanting to heal in the room. Sometimes you'll just hear it. Sometimes you'll know it. A lot of different ways he speaks to us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
And I knew what the Lord was going to do today.
Okay, yeah.
See it?
Just read it.
Oh, I got to put my glasses on. Temporary. So before I came to the service today, the Lord said out of Psalm 110:3, He said, "Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness, and in the holy array. Out of the womb of the morning, you will spring forth, your young men who are as dew."
Amen. Anybody else got something? This family right here, when you came up to me and said about your flag from Sri Lanka, grab your wife and your young ones there. Well, they're not too young, but they're young compared to us. And correct me if I'm wrong, they said you were from Sri Lanka and you're here just visiting for a week?
Yeah.
Right? So Sunday. Okay, so Corey, hey, where's Casey? Casey, come here. And your wife, come here. Some of you guys, come and just surround these guys. We're going to pray for them. I felt this real anointing when you came back there and you just looked up at your flag. And the Lord gave you this impartation this morning. It was not from me. And there's a level of brokenness inside you that I see is so beautiful. And there's this humility. It's a smell and a flavor of humility on your life. I've never met you until you just walked up and looked at that flag and that's it. And you're going to take this back to your homeland. And people are going to see you're different. It's not that you've been changed, you've been transformed. This is already something that's been inside you. It wasn't an impartation that like came from within. I mean, from without, but it was an impartation that's actually going to be coming from within you. That's transforming you, and it's going to transform a lot of people around you. And so we bless you as a family. This anointing that's on your whole family. Do you have other kids or just these two? Just these two. We bless your whole family. This anointing of intimacy I see on your lives. This anointing of intimacy of the Holy Spirit right here. Visit him. There's a visitation of the Lord that's coming to your family. You've been fasting, you've been praying, you've been seeking. You've been doing all the things I talked about this morning, and you're ready for it. You're ready for it. And I saw you kept your fire lit. You kept that hunger inside you. You literally flew here because you're hungry. We bless that hunger. And more importantly, Lord, bless their hunger. Feed them from your hand, Lord. Feed them from your hand. You guys just keep praying for them. If you have words, just give it to them. Go for it.